Hello again, Mike O'Connor, Sex and Podcasting, a show that doesn't have anything to do with sex. It's about community podcasting. I just put the name in there to get your attention. And the bandwidth for this show is provided by IP House in Minneapolis. This show is about the buzz in the podcasting community about Ron Blum and Adam Curry's recent snagging of a bunch of money in there for their pod show. I've been ruminating about what all that means for podcasting, and I'm ready to weigh in on that, so that's what this show's about. Like many people, when you go out to raise money, you have to sort of put together what's called a roadshow. You put together a little story, and you trot it around all kinds of people. You also have to come up with your elevator pitch, which is the 15-second version of that. And after they get funded, it's quite normal for people to sort of take that roadshow out to the public media. That's what Ron and Adam have done. And I've been sort of listening to the stuff that they've had out there. They were on the Gilmore Gang and CBS Market Watch and a bunch of places like that. And I figure they're just sort of replaying the same stuff that they used to sell their deal to the money guys, you know, sanitized, of course, without any of the gory details of how you actually make tons of money or what the exit strategy is. But I thought I'd sort of replay what I heard. I think some of it's right. I think some of it's wrong. Those folks at Sequoia Venture Capital and Kleiner Perkins, they're smart. They've invested in things like Google, made a bunch of money, but they've also invested in some clunkers, and this one's kind of in the I don't know category for me. But here's what they're saying. Ron and Adam were out there saying, look, you know, we're targeting the long tail. The long tail is the narrow casting sort of stuff that I talk a lot about. Those intensely focused groups of that are pretty small, as opposed to broadcasting, which is the mass media stuff. And I think podcasting is great for that, so I'll give them that point. What they then say is that they want to target those super narrow niches to advertisers. And that's where I get a little, I'm not so sure, because for several reasons, and I'll get into that in a bit. But, you know, I think it's hard to figure out who's listening to these podcasts, for one thing, and I think advertisers are going to be a little cranky if you come to them and say, well, I have 6,000 people listening to my podcast, but I don't know who they are, so I don't know whether they'd like your stuff. I think that's a problem. Now, what Ron and Adam want to do is they want to be the portal through which people find that content, and I would imagine that in the process of putting that together, they will do some demographic stuff, and that might be the way that they solve that problem. But I don't know that internet people are going to be real keen on being portalized for this stuff. That also, I think, remains to be seen. Anyway, they're really interested in getting super targeted ad buys inside of podcasting, either as little audio inserts that get stuck into the podcasts, either in the front and the back or maybe even in the middle. Or Ron was saying, even better yet, would be the podcaster themselves actually endorsing products. And I'm going, yeah, right. At least the podcasters I know are a pretty frisky bunch, and for the most part, I'm not sure that they're going to be real excited about being advertising vehicles. But hey, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, they're talking about 100 million listeners served by 15,000 podcasters, which when you do I'll do that division for you real quick. It's about 6,500 listeners per podcast on average, which is extraordinarily high by at least today's standards. If you go out in the podcastosphere and look at the subscriptions for podcasts that publish their subscription rates, there's only one that's over 6,500 people right now, and that's This Week in Tech. They very quickly fall off below 6,500, and of course that will change, but I think we got a long way to go to 100 million listeners. And maybe I wouldn't count on it real soon. One of the interesting things that they said on the Gilmore Gang, Ron said, is that, this quote, "This really isn't about creating program, this is really about aggregating listeners," which runs pretty contrary to what the happy talk that you hear from Adam Curry on his podcasts is all about. Because there, he's rabble-rousing. He's trying to get people into podcasting, and for that, I have my hat off to him. I think he's doing a great job at that, great job at getting people fired up about podcasting and all that. But you do sort of, when you hear this stuff about aggregating listeners, you start to say, well, okay, so what exactly is your motivation for doing all this? They're also pretty into the metrics, and Ron also ruefully kind of admitted that the metrics, which is right now subscribers, aren't real good. And I would second that emotion for sure. I've already ranted about that, so I won't hit that again, but I think the metrics for podcasting have to get a whole lot better before this business model they're proposing is actually going to work. They also talked about how they're delivering 3 or 4 million impressions per month, and impressions I put in quotes because impressions is also something I ranted about a couple of podcasts ago. It's a slippery message, or a slippery number. Then the woman on CBS MarketWatch, who I thought did a great job, said, okay, you know, enough with this. Like, what's your 15-second elevator pitch? And they came back and said, well, we've built and run a public company before, and doesn't listening suck? When was the last time that people told you they loved their radio? And then they said, anybody can publish. It's untethered. It's democratizing publishing, and there's really strong user demand. That's sort of the punchline. And then what they said is that they wanted to be the place where people would go find content. Well, what's wrong with all that? First of all, I'm not convinced about this advertising thing. I love non-commercial broadcasting and podcasting. I love community podcasting. I think advertising, as I've said in previous shows, puts a stress on it that may not work. The other thing is podcasters are pretty frisky. I think it's going to be like herding cats to get us podcasters to fall in line and toe the mark and be good little doobies for you guys. I used to do this with 250 programmers on a community radio station, and that was hard enough. And, you know, trying to get 15,000 programmers, all irascible folks like me, lined up in a single direction, strikes me as a long shot. Maybe somebody put $8 million on the line and think I'm wrong, but I'm not buying that one either. So then, you know, as I'm sort of sitting here with this sort of ruminations and going, well, why in the heck would Kleiner Perkins and Sequoia put all that money in podcasting? Dave Weiner came up with, I think, perhaps the most cogent reason why they did it. Here's his speculation. I'm just going to quote it to you direct. It's on his Scripting News website. If you don't know who Dave Weiner is, well, that's another show altogether, but he, in my mind, is really the true father of podcasting. Anyway, here it is. Google has an iTunes clone in the works. Probably works great with cell phones, unlike iTunes itself, which works great with iPods. Kleiner Perkins has the inside track because they have a Google board seat. And Dorr, who's the guy that is also on the Podshow board, is architecting the whole thing anyway. Enter Podshow, which gets a sweet deal with Google to provide the first applications and content for their iTunes Me Too, all the while in bed with Uncle Steve over at iTunes. Instant mini bubble, Podshow goes public, Adam and Ron retire to Miami, Kleiner Perkins pockets the profits, everybody goes to the seashore. That's a story that makes sense to me. I have been ranting about how until podcasts get on my phone, I'm not going to be listening to them very much, and maybe that's the angle they're going to take. But I don't know, man. $8 million, that's a lot of money. And I'm not sure it's going to work. I like other models better. So there you go. That's my take on the big podcasting deal. Well, at this point in these shows, I went on to play a tune of some sort, but I've let the license to play those tunes expire. So I had to edit them out. And the other thing is that these shows are in mothballs now. I kind of ran out of stuff to say about community podcasting, so I've moved on to GeezerCast, which gives me a lot more room to maneuver. GeezerCast is a podcast to my unborn grandchildren, and if you're liking these, you might like those too. You can join me over there at geezercast.com. Anyway, that wraps this show up. I hope you enjoyed it, and I'll see you the next time.